As we continue on through the book of Galatians, I know I'm not going very fast through the book of, chapter 5 here. There's so much glorious freedom and truth to offer. This morning, beginning with verse 16, in chapter 5 of the book of Galatians, I'll read this morning's text. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Again, let's pray. Lord, we desire you, desire your truth, desire the freedom, Lord, that you offer. Help us, Lord, walk in your truth. Free us, Lord, from our flesh, from deception. And Lord, have your way, your will and your plan worked out in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, I entitled the message, The Power Walk. Paul, as he continues in Galatians 5, he, you know, following what he just covered, you know, again, we're in the application part of the Galatians chapter 5. He says, I say then, walk in the Spirit. You know, he calls us, exhorts us, admonishes us to walk in the Spirit. You know, I mean, live the spiritual life. Walk in the Spirit. Walking through Scripture, you know, depicts a life, a journey, a pilgrimage. In 1 Peter, Peter wrote, Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. As a journey, we're called to walk out our Christian life. The Bible tells us, you know, depicting our life with God, our relationship with God, the Bible tells us Enoch walked with God and it was translated. He was in such tight fellowship with God, walking before him, walking with him, walking in him, in fellowship with him, that God snatched him up, the Bible says. But over and over again, the Bible tells us in Ezekiel that they may, God speaking through the prophet, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them, and they shall be my people and I will be their God. The Bible tells us that the Lord appeared to Abraham in the book of Genesis. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Bible tells us, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. The Bible tells us that it signifies our lifestyle, or summing up the way we live is our walk. To walk before him. To walk blameless, to walk worthy of your calling, the New Testament exhorts us. To walk in the light. 1 John, the Bible tells us, walk in the light as he is in the light. Have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from all sin. To stay in the light, to walk in the light, to walk worthy of our calling. This figurative that Paul uses to walk in the Spirit. Our walk, you know, again, sums up our life. the Bible tells us that you can walk in a sinful manner also. You know, in Romans, the Bible says, who walk according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. You can walk according to the flesh. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter, for we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in licentiousness, lusts, drunkenness, revelries, drunken parties, and abominable idolatries. Enough time spent walking, you know, away from God in our flesh, the Bible teaches us. The Bible says, or Paul writes to the Ephesians, that in which you once walked according to the course of this world. You know, our walk, how we walk. You know, Paul here exhorting us, walk in the Spirit. The Bible, God's Word, God's will is that we live a spiritual life, that we walk in the Spirit. You'll notice that Spirit here is capitalized. Walk in God. Walk in the Holy Spirit is Paul's injunction. He goes on, you know, walk in the Spirit, having a spiritual life with God. You know, again, this is the application part of this book, this epistle. Stand fast, therefore, in the freedom by which Christ has made us free. You've been called into the liberty. But do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. Don't misuse your liberty. Don't misuse God's grace. Stand fast. Now Paul's saying, hey, walk in the Spirit. These encouraging admonitions to proceed, to progress, to walk in the Spirit, to grow in Christ, the Bible encouraging us. But Paul goes on. He said, you know, to walk in the Spirit. Then he goes on the next verse saying that there's a struggle within the believer. There's a conflict going on. Even though there's a conflict, walk in the Spirit. You know, he said about this struggle, you know, it's the frustration of the flesh. Dual natures, the Bible teaches, that we all have, you know, the Adamic nature that never leaves us. Even though we accept Jesus Christ and He gives us His Spirit and we're born again and we receive new life, the Adamic nature, our old nature is with us until we pass, until we see Him, until we go to heaven. And because of the two natures, Paul talking about a conflict that the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another so that you do not do the things that you wish. We all have this struggle, this conflict inside of us. You know, Robin would say, holy schizo. It's not schizophrenic. It's biblical reality. It's spiritual realization. That's where we get this. I'm sure this is where this concept comes from. The animation where you got the little angel on one shoulder and the little devil on the other. You know, feeding, no, do this, no, do that. Trying to persuade. Here, Paul says this conflict, this struggle's in each and every one of us. You know, realization of this truth, of this conflict, of this struggle, ongoing, this dual nature. But again, you know, where does it come from? Where did it begin? The Bible teaches us in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, in a spiritual type. You remember when Isaac and Rebecca was barren and without, you know, she wasn't pregnant. She said, Isaac, pray to the Lord that I would get pregnant, that we could have a child. And then Isaac prayed to the Lord, and sure enough, she became pregnant. And then the next thing in the chapter there, the Bible says that Rebecca says, how come it is as this way? It's kind of a goofy grammar there in the King James, but he's saying, she was saying, why is it that if we prayed that God would make me pregnant, that we would have a baby, why do I have such a struggle in me? Why is there such a struggle? Then the Lord spoke to them and said, you know, in your womb is two nations. That's why there was a struggle. There's two nations in her womb. But the struggle, and then this type that comes from Rebekah. Esau, born, hairy, rugged, red, outdoorsman, man's man, type of the flesh. Jacob, homeboy. And yet, God, manipulative nature. And yet God, as the story unfolds, goes on to rename Jacob Israel, governed by God, becoming a type for the spiritual nature. And this two conflict going on through Scripture between Esau and Esau's descendants, the Edomites, and then Jacob, Israel, and his descendants, the Israelites. We read in Obadiah that God pronounced judgment on the Edomites. He's going to wipe them out. The type, the spiritual type, God pronouncing judgment on our flesh. The conflict within each and every one of us. The spirit, that's capital S, the Holy Spirit. Lusting, warring, his desires, God's plans, God's desires in us, struggling against our flesh, our own desires, lusting against God's Spirit. This conflict, this struggle, ongoing. Paul categorizing it. Hey, it's going to happen. It's in all of us. Face it. It's true. It's the realization, spiritual reality of what's going on inside of us. But that shouldn't shirk you. But it stifles many. You know, coming into the reality, man, this is difficult, this Christian walk. Having to face myself. Really, many pitch in the towel. It stops their progress. It really stops their walk. You know, paralyzes them in their spiritual walk. But here, Paul's saying, hey, walk in the Spirit. Yeah, sure, there's a conflict. We all have it. Sometimes it gets really, you know, intense. Paul talks about it in Romans 7, remember? He says, the things that I will to do, these things I don't do. Here, you know, the Spirit, lust against flesh, flesh against Spirit, so that we do not do the things that we wish. The contrary, conflict, struggle. And we're not even carrying out what we will to do. This intensified conflict sometimes gets really heated up. But Paul says, walk in the Spirit. These two opposing forces within our own nature. This conflict, this struggle. He elaborates this as he goes on. He goes on to, you know, describe the works of the flesh. Now, they're the works of the flesh. Then he goes on to list 17 or so things of the flesh. The first three, just to, you know, do a synopsis real quick. Adultery, fornication, licentiousness. They all kind of relate. Sexual impurity. Adultery, when one within the marriage bonds has sex outside the marriage. That's adultery. They're an adulterer. Paul says it's a work of the flesh, of the old nature, of the sinful nature. Fornication, when two outside the marriage bonds have sex with one another. That's fornication. It's a work of the flesh. Licentiousness, or he goes on to say uncleanness. Uncleanness is, you know, usually related to sexual impurity. But anything that defiles, anything that corrupts. He goes on to list these 17 different things. Licentiousness, unbridled lust. That's just lust in you, a runaway sinner. Unbridled, unrestrained, unrestricted. Like as if, you know, you have no responsibility over your own lust or sin. Paul says this is a work of the flesh. He goes on. Idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions. Idolatry, placing anything in God's place. You know, we think of graven images in the Old Testament. But it can be anything. Sorcery. The Greek word for sorcery, pharmakia, which we get our word, the use of drugs. Witchcraft, sorcery, and their use of drugs in the whole thing. You know, a work of the flesh. Hatred. harboring hatred, bitterness in your heart and your soul over your past or toward another, malice, harboring malice. It's a work of the flesh, Paul says. Contentions, argumentatively, you know, being dissensions, heresies. Heresies, you know, having like argumentative rationalizations, carrying them around in your mind, packing them, they come against the truth of God. Arming yourself with lies, heresies that keep you from opening up to God's truth. That's a work of the flesh. It operates in our mind. It comes from the old nature. Paul says it's a work of the flesh. Jealousies, being jealous, harboring envy toward another. Not if only if maybe they got something you don't have, but just that they got it. Our evil, malicious hearts. These works of the flesh. Outbursts of wrath. Temper. Anger. Selfish ambitions. As Ken Davis said, you know, I got my day planner packed so tight that God can't even get in it. Selfish. Driving your own life. Murder, drunkenness, revelries, just partying, carousing, rowdy behavior, brawling, all these works of the flesh. Paul went on at the end of this description of the works of the flesh, elaborating on one side of the nature that we possess. He says that if, and the like, not just this, this doesn't complete the list, but anything like this, getting in the way of God, anything springing out of your sinful nature, you know, and he said, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. He says this because it's true. You know, you can try to rationalize it out. I don't buy this stuff. I'm just going to put it out of my mind. But in the next chapter, Paul says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that will he also reap. If you sow to the flesh, you'll reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, everlasting life. Don't deceive yourself. That's what the Bible tells us. Paul, even though we have this conflict, and even though the depravity of our sinful nature has so many works, they're so deep-rooted, he said, walk in the Spirit. Don't let them take hold. He goes on. You know, yes, there's a struggle, conflict, an opposition, and it's internal, but walk in the Spirit. Again, this is the practical, the application part of this teaching. Paul telling us, informing us, walk in the Spirit. How to overcome the flesh. Someone has written it this way. The secret of spiritual success. The application part of the epistle. How to overcome. You know, Paul tells us, he says, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He gives us the key to victory, to walk in the Spirit. Even though we have a dual nature, even though maybe my sinfulness, you hear people talking about, oh, you don't understand my weakness, my sin. As if, you know, I don't have a human nature. We're all in the same boat. We all have conflict. If Paul suffered this conflict, we all, and the closer we get to the Lord, may intensify. What's in our flesh? God exposes. God, walk in the light as He is in the light. He'll show us. It's intense. It's conflict. It's a struggle. But Paul says, walk in the Spirit. And how to overcome these fleshly works. One thing is we cannot, the freedom or the victory or the spiritual success cannot be discovered by ourselves. We don't have the power in ourselves. The Bible tells us that in 1 John, you know, for as many as received him, to them he gave the right or the power, the exousia, not to become children of God, who were born not of the will of man, nor by blood, nor of the will of the flesh. You can't do it. I can't do it. It's one thing that's so difficult of our faith is you can't do it. I can't do it. We have to come to the truth of our own inability. the freedom, the power to overcome our own flesh doesn't come from within us. We lack the power. You can't get there by drugs. The Bible tells us, you know, here teaching us about freedom. You know, so often you get in that deception. I did when I used to do drugs. Oh, man. You do a certain drug and you think, oh, now that's free. When the truth is, scientifically, the truth is, when you take a drug, as Dave Hunt said in the video, you open up your defenses in your brain to spiritual beings. You know, you usually reign over your own spirit, but when you take a pill, when you lose your ability, you hallucinate or you get stoned, you get loaded, it opens yourself up to the wrong spiritual entity. You can't find freedom or victory through drugs or through self or through religion. You can go to church. You can, you know, go through all the ceremonies, do all the sacraments, you know, get baptized, take communion every day of your life, three times a day. It don't matter. The truth is, it's not religion. If we could do it in ourself and by religion, then Jesus wouldn't have had to die. The Bible teaches us that that's why the law was ineffective. In that the law, what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, the Bible tells us. Failure on our end. That's what Paul's talking about. Our failure. He admits his failure. Cannot do what I will to do. I cannot do it. It's an admission of failure and weakness. But how do I overcome? You know, so many people offer so many ideas, psychological techniques. You know, just think a good thought. You know, as if you're some kind of ionic breeze or something. You can positize the whole, your heart. Just, you know, if you have hatred towards your mother, if you got bitterness or you've murdered someone, all you have to do is so take a deep breath, settle your thoughts, and think a happy thought. As if you can, you know, expel positive when really what's going on in your heart. When you can't alter or change your heart through any psychoanalyst or psychology technique. You can't change your heart. We can't do it. Man can't do it. It's impossible. Can't find that freedom to overcome in your own flesh through self or drugs or psychology or religion. Can't resist it. Just put it out of your mind. Now, positive thinking, positive confession, as if that changes your heart. Doesn't change your heart. Nothing changes your heart except the blood of Jesus Christ and us coming under submission to that. Paul tells us here in this passage the key to victory. If you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. It's a replacement. He tells us the key to victory and triumph in this. How can I walk in the Spirit? By walking in the Spirit. If you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Victory over your flesh. How? By walking in the Spirit. Paul gives us this principle, replacement lifestyle. One rules out the other. You know, again, so you think maybe this conflict going on, but they're not a balance of power. You know, there's a big difference in power here. You know, my flesh, and even though in Jeremiah the Bible says that your heart is desperately wicked above all things, even though it's that wicked, you know, God, capital S, Holy Spirit in us, is by far the dominant force. Romans tells us about that. His grace is greater than our sin. Jesus, the new Adam, greater than the old nature. The greater force, submitting to it. That's what Paul's talking about here. He's saying that if you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The love of God rules out the love of self. Living a lifestyle in accordance with. That's another description of walking in. Walk in the Spirit. Paul says in Romans 8, you know, he who lives in the Spirit sets his mind on the things of the Spirit. walking after the Spirit, living in accordance, lives according to the Spirit, in accordance and aligning with God's Spirit. The lifestyle that cancels out the old lifestyle. For to be spiritually minded is life and peace, Paul teaches us in Romans. And the Apostle John wrote, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. To walk in the Spirit, walk in truth. You know, the Bible tells us the truth. What the law could not do and that it was weak through the flesh, God did. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. What the law could not do and that it was weak through the flesh, we can't do it. Even the law, knowing the law, it's holy and just and good, doesn't matter, doesn't help. But the Bible says God did. By sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin, he condemned sin in us. The word katagaro means put out of business. John says, oh, no greater joy that I have to see my children walk in truth, in the truth of what God has done. Put sin out of business. Paul teaching us, you know, he condemned it. Christ condemned it. God, the Bible tells us, has judged the flesh. He's against the flesh. There's a conflict between God and our old nature. Yet Jesus condemned sin. When he was nailed to the cross and died in our place, he ruled it out. If I submit to him, the Bible tells me that if I walk after the Spirit, I shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's victory. That's the secret of victory. Following Christ, living the spiritual life. Paul goes on. In Romans, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. Paul goes on in this passage. He says in verse 18, if you're led by the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In verse 18, if you're led by the Spirit. You know, God does have a condition. And his condition towards us is unconditional surrender. We can't make pacts. All right, Lord, I'll give part of me to you if we want victory. You know, the Bible tells us, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. No provision for the flesh. You know, I was watching the History Channel about the Japanese during World War II. And, you know, here we are. We, you know, bombed them with an atomic bomb. And they wouldn't surrender after the first one. They wanted concessions. We wrote to them, just to illustrate a point, we wrote to them unconditional surrender. They wrote back, we want our empire, our emperor acknowledged. So we want to hold on to something. We want concessions. We want to make a deal with you. We want to keep part of our sinful nature alive. That's not his way. His way is unconditional surrender, to be led by the Spirit under his authority. Authority, victory comes by submission to his authority. Total unconditional surrender. In verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. Walk and live in the Spirit. I was thinking of that old song. I don't know if you've heard this before, you know. Everybody stops and talks, but the walking man walks. Walk on by. It reminds me of my grandpa, you know. He used to walk. He didn't talk much. But it's kind of what he's asking us to do. to walk it out. Not talk it out, but to live it. To walk in the Spirit. To be led by the Spirit. Under His authority. To live in the Spirit. The flesh loses its strength. Sinful indulgences overcome by a greater force. Earlier in this chapter, or earlier in this book, same truth, Paul wrote, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Not put Him off. Put Him on. Live in Christ. Walk. Live in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. That's a power walk. The true power walk. After the Spirit. The truth is, the principle He gives is replacement. If I live after the Spirit, He grants me power over my flesh. I can't wait and say, hey, give me power, then I'll walk. You walk in power when you decide to live and walk in the Spirit, after the Spirit. It's a choice. Last week we talked about how God tells us not to misuse our freedom. You know, been called to this liberty, only do not use this liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. How we're brought back to a fork in the road or a why with a choice. Gives us freedom to choose. And He says, walk in the Spirit. To live after the Spirit, to live a life after the Spirit of Christ, to live a life following Jesus Christ. In pursuit of, walking, seeking. You know, Jeremiah tells us, God gives us a promise in Jeremiah. If you seek Me, you'll find Me. If you seek Me with your whole heart. You know, the promise of deliverance by living and walking in the Spirit. Let's stand. So much freedom in the book of Galatians. Here for the choosing. Here for the surrendering to. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You. We thank You that You, because Christ has set us free, what You've done to grant us our freedom. And Lord, help us appropriate the truth of walking after the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, being led by Your Spirit. And Lord, let us not get discouraged because of the conflict or the struggle in our nature. But Lord, we ask that we would witness Your overriding and overcoming in these vessels, Lord. That You have Your way. And that we will experience Your promises. Lord, we acknowledge apart from You, we can do nothing. And Lord, we ask that You have Your way in our hearts, in our life. We ask that You plant Your word in our hearts that we might not sin against You. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. And be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. God bless you.